and worshiping with you, worshiping the Lord, worshiping our King. Let's take our Bibles out this morning and look at Genesis chapter 12. Going way back in the Bible here a little bit, but also going towards those themes of Christmas and what God is doing in Jesus Christ here. But looking back at Abram, the first 11 chapters of Genesis really chronicle, the creation part of it and also the fall and our need for a Savior. There's so much in Genesis that we need to go back and pick up on because it's so much of it that informs what we believe about why we need a Savior. And a lot of the world is confused about that, even needing a Savior or even sin or anything of that nature these days. But also marriage and so many things that Jesus himself spoke and preached upon have their foundations and their roots in this book. But coming up to chapter 11 from the time of the fall, there just seems to be things are falling apart. They're not really coming together the way that God had created them to be. And so when we come to Abram, we start to see this incredible seed of hope that's been planted by God himself when it comes to the good news that we know in Jesus Christ. But we're going to look here these first four verses in Genesis chapter 12 about the call of Abram. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let's pray again together. Father, we thank you so much for this word of yours to us. Lord, it is life. It is so much to us, Lord, that you would bring your good news back to us again as we've even heard songs sung and played this morning about your Spirit, the Spirit of God, the very Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and visit us this day. Lord, for each person here, whatever they are dealing with in life, whatever victories, whatever defeats, whatever problems there might be there, Lord, you know what they are. And your word has the answer. Your word discloses to us the word of life, Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at Abram, it really is, you know, we sang that little song back when we were kids. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It's not like Clark Griswold, which they play that movie over and over and over again. You know, when he comes down to the places, boss gives him the Jelly of the Month Club, and Cousin Eddie tells him, "What's the gift that keeps on giving?" Well, he didn't believe that because he wanted the money, right? But nonetheless, this is the gift that keeps on giving. We see the fact that what Abram does here, and notice in verse 4, he was 75 years old. I haven't made it to that milestone yet. I don't know if the Lord will grant me those days or not, but some of you have made that milestone. Can you imagine at 75 years of age, God calling you to go from the place where you knew best, and it was said to be one of the most civilized cities of the time, Ur of the Chaldees, as they have dug it up, it had a sewer system of all things at that point in time in life. They had all the modern conveniences, and yet God says to Abram, take your belongings, take your wife, take your, you know, move from your relatives, move from your familiarity, and go to this land that I'm going to give to you in Canaan. And this is the promise to Abraham that we're looking at here this morning. Where he goes down through, look what he says. The promise to him is, starts in verse 2, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." He begins to talk about this blessing part of it. As we know the story of Israel, it wasn't all about blessing, was it? In fact, not too long after Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, they ended up in a time of famine there in Jacob's time, and then going to Israel and ended up in slavery. So it wasn't all a time of blessing. It wasn't all a time of ease, as we would consider blessing, but yet God had a greater purpose in them, and we'll see that he even had us in mind as we look at these few verses here and look on down through to God's obedience there in Abraham. As we look at it, in verse 3 it says, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse." And at the end of the verse, this is where Jesus comes in, at the end of verse 3. "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That is you and me. It's through Jesus Christ. It wasn't just about the Jewish people. It wasn't just about the people of Israel, though that was the core of this and what God was about to do. But he was saying in him, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. They were blessed to be a blessing. And that really, that's the message of the gospel to each one of us today. As we have been blessed to be a blessing. Too oftentimes, we become sort of the end of the blessing as it goes. Too oftentimes, because of life circumstances or whatever else puts us into that place, we're blessed to be a blessing. But the blessing sometimes stops here. It's sort of like Harry S. Truman had that thing on his desk there, that picture they have of him, you know, that kind of circulates around, whether you like Truman or not. I wasn't around when he was around, but he'd made some pretty big decisions. And it said, the buck stops here. Well, sometimes the blessing stops here with us, where God wants us to be the conduit, the channels of blessing. I used to sing an old song called Channels Only. I don't know if you remember that song, that God calls us to be these channels. God calls us to be this channel of blessing. God was calling Abram to be a channel of blessing. God was calling Abram's people to be a channel of blessing, that he was going to bless the world through him. I want you to know something else too, that everyone's salvation in Jesus Christ begins with someone else's obedience. Everyone else's salvation. If you know Jesus Christ today, it's because somebody else was obedient. It's because somebody else was obedient to tell you the truth of Jesus Christ, the blessed good news of Jesus Christ. Whether it was from a pulpit like this, or it was a time whenever you were going through something and a friend or a coworker said to you, I know what you need. I know who you need the most. It's something we all need, and it's Jesus Christ. So too many times, though, we can become the cul-de-sac of blessing. In other words, you know, there's no end to it. You've got to turn around at that place. Rather than the conduit of blessing that God's calling us to be and who he wants us to be, our salvation is dependent upon somebody else's being obedient. Look what it says there in verse 4, and this is where we see that obedience in Abram, and this is where we see the message and the mission of God working out here. He says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He went. We see this so oftentimes in Scripture. They weren't perfect people, and we find out about Abram as we track with him through his story. He lies about his wife being a sister at one point. Remember that? That's kind of a big one, isn't it? And I don't know necessarily some of you ladies that are married would like your husband doing that about you. But, you know, in order to save face, in order to protect himself, in order to protect his well-being, he decides to lie to Pharaoh about that. There's all these crazy things we read these guys say, what were they thinking? But sometimes if we go back in the newsreel of our own life, we say, what was I thinking? I think that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God, too, is it shows us the imperfections. It shows us the humanity that is there within these people. But yet God chose to use them. And we see their obedience, which is extreme obedience at the age of 75, even in those days, to pick up from the best place he could have been living, going to a place that was not necessarily familiar to him. And to a place yet God is promising him. Notice this. He's promising to make him a great nation. But how many kids does Abram have at this point? He's got zero. Yeah, he doesn't have any kids at all. It's 75 years of age, and yet God is saying this to him. And he is willing, by verse 4, just to say, I'm going. We're going to pick up. I'm taking my wife. I'm taking my nephew, Lot, and we're going to go. Because I believe in what God is about to do in us. When we see that go, it's sort of like the go that Jesus gives to us in Matthew chapter 28, in verses 19 and 20, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That he calls us to go. That we all have a part in that going. Sometimes we're sending people. Sometimes we're about that part of it. But also, every one of us is called to go somewhere. Even though after here, it might be just going home. And that's okay. Going home, you need to take the gospel there. You see, there is so much blessing that God places in our life. Going back to some of the tenet words of Genesis, where it talks about marriage and God's intention there, as we take the good news of marriage, even in all its imperfection, at times that God wants us to use there. But that's not the only place. The incredible love of God that he places in every one of us, whether we're married or we're not married, that God wants us to take that love to someone else. The joy that he gives to us. Last time I was here, and you might not remember that, what I preached on there, but part of that was joy. And in this season where we talk about joy, and even the world wants to co-opt that word, they want to take that word for themselves and talk about joy. But nobody knows joy without Jesus Christ. Nobody knows the depth of what joy truly is, even in pain, unless you know Jesus Christ. That blessing that God gives to you, he is calling you to go with that and to take that. And even in that attitude, you are taking the good news to so many people. You are obeying and you're going as God calls you to go if you embrace this for what God wants it to be. God's mission is a promise, not even necessarily an option. You know, as God called them out of Egypt, just down the road from where Abram is here, a number of years and generations as they were in slavery there, it wasn't just about freeing them from slavery. If you go to Exodus chapter 19, this is what he told them right before he gives them the Ten Commandments. You know what you have up here on the corner? Right before he gives them the Ten Commandments, listen to what he says. He says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom and priest and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So he's telling them, listen, you're not just going to do this for yourself. You're not just coming out of Egypt to go back to your homeland. Although that was part of it, and he gave them specific instructions about that if you read the scriptures. But he's also telling them, listen, you're going to stand in the gap. As the people of God, the whole thing that they were to do was stand in the gap. And these are words then that Peter takes and picks up in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he says. It almost echoes exactly these words from Exodus. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see, God calls us. He blesses us with this incredible salvation in Jesus Christ. He saves us by the blood of his own son. Not just merely to sit back and say, well, now the fire insurance is paid. You know, I've been saved. But to be a blessing. You see, what a priest does, you know, we talk about, and a priest has become sort of a bad word in our culture these days, but truly what a priest did in those days and on up through is supposed to stand between. He's calling you and I to be a priest, the holy priesthood. The holy part of it is this part that God is doing in us and sanctifying us and making us for his own purpose and for his own way of acting in history. But we stand between a fallen world and a holy God. We're a bridge between the two. Here in Pennsylvania, our bridges aren't in the best of shape. And there was a bridge down by Elwood City, and that's where some of you were talking about Elwood City this morning as I was coming in, and a connection there. And there's a little town called Coppell over by Route 18. I don't know if you know Coppell or not, but there's a bridge that goes between there over into Parkgate and a little community right off of Elwood City. And they gave it a 1 out of 10 a number of years ago. We keep driving across it. You know, that's a lot of faith there, right? But they're building another bridge beside it now, which is good news, but they're moving very slowly. And the railroad slowed them down a little bit more. But every time you go across it, you lift up your feet. You know, be sure it's not to put as much pressure on that. But we put a lot of faith in bridges. And if you look down at the Beaver River, it's way down there from that bridge. And it's going to be further down from the new bridge because it's up higher. But God's calling you and I to be a bridge between this fallen world. We know there's sin. We know there's brokenness in this world. And God is calling you as his people to stand in the gap, that others may make their way to know this holy God that we know, who loves us so much, who sent his son for us. And that's what he was calling his people to do. And they did it imperfectly. And he made this covenant with them and this whole way of living that he was calling them out to be. Obedience truly starts with faith. We have faith in God, we will move forward. In fact, the scriptures say about Abraham in James chapter 2, verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And you think about it, would you do what Abraham did there at 75? Would you do it at 65? Would you do it at 55? Would you do it at 45? I mean, just keep on counting back down through. we get to a place of security sometimes, and we are so afraid of losing our security that are we willing to step out for God? Are we willing to step out for Jesus Christ? We sometimes want to save face when God opens up the door and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to our hearts and say, you need to talk to them about Jesus. I've been there. You've been there. And there's sometimes we don't speak. There's sometimes I haven't spoken. And after the fact, there's that guilt that comes in. I mean, the Lord brings back the healing part of it, but there's just this opportunity to speak. There's an opportunity to go to these ones that are hurting around us. There's so many who need Jesus. So many that need to know this blessing that we have, and we have that opportunity to be that channel, that conduit where God's grace flows to another person and to another group of people, and our obedience then brings salvation to other people. You see, there's this chain going back here to Abram's obedience. His initial obedience at the age of 75 to get up and go comes down to you and I, because people have been getting up and going, coming to people like us when we needed it most. And the grace of God flowed through them. And we got to know Jesus Christ because of it. God calls us to that. When we hear the call of the disciples, the original disciples of Jesus, it has this extreme effect as well, because they were men who just got up and left a lot. Their security. I mean, listen to this part in Matthew chapter 4. So now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Notice what it says, immediately. They didn't sit down and go, well, you know, what's this going to cost? What exactly is this going to take in my life? I mean, who was Jesus in the first place? He had a little bit of notoriety by this time where he had been preaching the kingdom of God, but really to come to this place of incredible faith, to obey in such an extreme way, he only tells them, listen, you'll be fishers of men. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Notice it says he left their father. I don't know about you. My dad was a farmer, still is. And if I was out working with him and somebody came and said, hey, come on, let's go, I knew it was better for me at that point in time. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there. You had a dad like that, you know. You know, I better stick there and get that done, what I was being told to do right then. And here these guys are. They were adult males, surely, but this was their business. This was the family business. This was their father who was there telling them what to do. And yet this extreme obedience. And would it had not been, I mean, the history of the world would be different if these men had just said, you know what, I'd rather fish. There's a lot of days we feel like that. When God is calling us to do something, we say, well, it'd be just better to fish today. Be better just to do this today rather than do what God's calling me to do. In Luke chapter 5, it says something similar, the call of another one. It says, after that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Now, Levi had a pretty secure form of income. He didn't have to worry about there being enough fish. There was always somebody coming along there that was going to get taxed. The way it worked is people would come up the road, and it was sort of like the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Excuse me. I came up the Turnpike last night, so I remember this very clearly. But, you know, as you come up to the booth, you got to pay. Or you go through if you have Easy Pass, and you get a little bit of a cut in your tax, you know, when you're going through using the Pennsylvania Turnpike. But it was the same way back then. Somebody sat in a booth, and they, as you're coming up through there, and you had stuff to sell, and they say, okay, you owe me this much. And they would take their cut, and Rome would get their cut, and the local municipality would get their cut. It sounds like your paycheck about right now, right? You know, all the things, everybody getting their cut. But that was Levi's job. He had a secure form of income because he was working for the Romans, and the Romans had the power at the time. Here again, he lays it down, leaves his tax booth, and goes with Jesus, follows him. This kind of command to go, this command to obey. God gives us that command to go along with them, as we read there from the Great Commission. And even from the commission to the disciples in Acts, where he tells them they're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. You see, we're not left to do this by ourselves. It would be very hard if it was just up to us making a decision on our own or trying to do this. For me to even come to Butler this morning, though it's about 30 degrees warmer today than it was last time I was with you, praise the Lord, huh? Get a little break from that winter anyway. But those things only happen because we're obedient to the Holy Spirit. You coming even out here this morning to worship, there's obedience to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of other places you could be. Just like if you think about Abram, at the age of 75, shouldn't he be with his golf club someplace else? Shouldn't he be just out doing something like that? That's what our culture tells us. You get to a certain age and you should just be out doing this. It should be your second adolescence of sorts. And I'm not against relaxation and recreation as we get opportunity. But we also have to be listening to what the call of the Lord is to us at any age, at any time in our life. Because our obedience just may lead to somebody else's obedience down the line. Because that's what we see this chain in the scriptures, this working. Everyone's salvation begins with someone else's obedience. Everyone else's. The greatest obedience that we see, the greatest obedience we're going to celebrate in this table, Jesus going to the cross. Without him, there would be no salvation, would there? It's the blood of Jesus, by the fact that he allowed himself to go to that cross. And he didn't stay dead. He came back after the third day. We celebrate that. Who is following the Lord today because of your obedience? Think about that. There's people that are following the Lord because of your obedience. And it might be something very small. Somebody will come back to you someday, and maybe it'll be a time whenever you're standing in God's presence in eternity, and they come to you and say, I am so glad that you did this. Had you not done it, it might be somebody you don't even know. But that's how important your obedience and your faithful following of Jesus Christ is every day. It's not always the big things whenever we're able to articulate the gospel just right, say the things about Jesus just right. It's not always those things, but it's sometimes just the smallest ways, the greatest influence that we have. Sometimes it's we give to missions. Somebody hears the gospel because you were faithful in that little bit that God gave to you. And you gave that. And there's somebody way on the other side of the world that heard Jesus Christ because of your faithfulness. It's those little bits of obedience that are all this chain that go back there to this yes by Abram that brought us Jesus Christ and we celebrate his coming to us. We need to remember that this day. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for communion. Father, I thank you for Abram's obedience. Thank you for the covenant, the promise that you gave to him, that in all the world would be blessed because you blessed him. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, as we read the history of our salvation in the Word of God, we realize there have been many, imperfect as they were, human as they were, who were obedient. And Father, there are those that are even closer to us in our own salvation history that if we look around and we see, because this one was so obedient, because this Sunday school teacher, because this friend, because this coworker was so obedient, I'm here today knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, there are those who are still needing our obedience to you. Fill us with your Spirit so we would see that today. Lord, as we take of these elements today, we do it in obedience to your word, which you say to do this in remembrance of you. And so, Lord, we are going to do this today. Lord, remind us of your goodness in all of this. Remind us, Lord, if there is something that is in our life that you want to work on during this as well. We're going to worship you during this, and we want to hear from you as well as we go to the table. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis 15, just to lead up to the table, Abram was in another place. God had promised them, he says, your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky. And as he was going to cement this covenant with him, there was this old way of doing this. And it seems odd to us today. But as a ruler would conquer another ruler, he would ask them, he'd ask the lesser ruler, he'd say, listen, you take these animals, you cut them in half, and they would put them in a valley, and then he would have them walk through the blood in that. And the message to the lesser ruler was this. if you do not keep my covenant with you, you're going to look like these animals. So God asked Abram to do this in chapter 15 of Genesis. We look at it, and it's strange to us at times. We look at this and say, what was going on here? But by verse 12, it says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him, because he had cut up the animals, and they're sitting there, and he knew he was the lesser one. He was going to have to walk through these. But you know what the good news was? As you read on, it says that this lamp came through. It was the light. It was the presence of God came and walked through those pieces. You know what the powerful message of that is? It was the Lamb of God. Who even he knew Abram was going to break that covenant. He knew Abram's people down the line were not going to stand firm to their word. And what God said to him was this: listen, if you break it or I break it, I'm going to pay with my blood. And you know what? He paid with his blood. We celebrate that in the table this morning, that God is faithful to his promise. God is faithful, and he knew that it would not be by the blood of goats or animals, just as Hebrews tells us, but by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that we would know the truth and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So